history of mashups. Hello and welcome to the History of Mashups Vol 6, Krautrock Idol. Now this week it's about Krautrock, otherwise known as Cosmisch music. Now if you haven't heard any Krautrock, and you will in this show, I would describe it, the best description I can come up with is psychedelic machine funk. It's rock but with electronic or tape textures. Bands trying to play like a machine over long periods of time, which of course influenced some of the later electronic groups in the 70s, including Kraftwerk, who came from the krautrock scene, and tape editing and long takes. I also think it's a bit like proto-punk. Certainly it influenced quite a lot of the lo-fi, like Pavement later on, and we'll go into sort of what krautrock inspired later on. So, what's playing in the background is a band called Faust. Now, Faust means fist in German, and I think was the first ever art rock experimental boy band, probably the only art rock experimental boy band, hence the name Krautrock Idol. It was created by a record company, German Polydor, and their manager, promoter, guru, you know, a bit like Colonel Tom Parker. And apparently they wanted the new Beatles. Yeah, don't laugh. or a sellable version of Can or Kraftwerk or some of the experimental bands, which sounds absolutely crazy, really. I mean, you can hear the Residents influence in the background. The idea that, yes, people like John Peel and Julian Cope love this music, but the idea that it could probably sell in large quantities is quite mad, but it did. Though we'll get to that in a minute. Now, in 1971, they started recording in Studio Wummer in Germany, which was an old converted schoolhouse. I've got to turn this down; it's just driving me nuts. It was all wired up so they could actually play in bed, so they could actually play in any room of the house. And there was a studio in the basement, and apparently they got raided a few times because they were thought to have links with Baader-Meinhof and various terrorists. Don't know if that's true, but I've heard that rumour from a few sources. And they did, I think, an album called Faust to begin with, the Clear album, but they're biggest album is an album called Faust Tapes in 1973. Now, the influential thing about Faust Tapes is that it's all edited. It's edited from an album which later released as 71 Minutes, and I've heard that, I've got that album, and it's interesting to hear the full length of tracks, and I think the editing adds a lot. And the reason why that was influential is it took songs and just chop them into like a minute or 3 minutes, and then suddenly you would go into a phone call and someone coughing, and then it would go into distortion and noise, and then it would go back into a distorted pop song. The actual pop song sounded like Beatles or Beach Boys, but really kind of like if someone like Charlie Manson on an acid trip was trying to remember some tune through a distortion filter. It's that kind of like what. And I definitely hear their influence in, say, the way that long mix albums like people like Kleptones, maybe Soundhog, French Bloke, people like that, that sort of very much cut and mix and very kind of eclectic approach, and the ability you can just play a song for a minute and then drop to something that's just a, you know, ambient noise. that I think pretty much inspired that. I'm going to play a track called Party 2 from the Faust tapes, and it's one of my favourites because it actually has the refrain. It's a very sad reason for liking something, but it has the refrain Jetpack Buddha. It is Jetpack Buddha. I'm sure it's Jetpack Buddha. And as you can say, it's actually quite... It's almost like psychedelic, or, well, dare say, the prog word. And bands like Can that were also part of this scene, or were lumped into this scene, that came along in 1968, eventually became prog, although a lot of the other groups didn't. They kept their sort of very kind of acerbic angle and really were proto-punk. The interesting thing about Faust tapes, which is usually much mentioned, is that it was sold for 49p at the time. Virgin Records made a big thing about the fact that they had to stop selling it because it was losing money, and apparently it recently came out that they weren't. And it had a Bridget Riley cover, which they don't seem to have anymore. Maybe Bridget Riley's too expensive for them now. But I actually saw Faust at the Royal Festival Hall, playing with Nosferatu. Sadly, is it Jean-Yves Perron? I'm not sure. I think it's John Perron. Had left by that point. They were a French-German group. That's why some of the lyrics are in French, some are in German. And they do vary. I played Sandra, previously, and they do seem to vary between very beautiful, achingly beautiful songs and just distorted noise. And I think their tours reflect that. They had things like angle grinders and fireworks in the Royal Festival Hall of all places. And their British tour in 1973 featured pneumatic drills, pinball machines, triggering synthesizers, and general madness. Now, I briefly mentioned Can. I don't have any Can tracks to play because I've got to keep this within an hour. Because they're another band that had... Faust weren't too bad. They kind of had maybe sort of up to eight 10-minute tracks. Faust's most famous track from them is 20 minutes. They're quite, you know, they were one of the sort of very much psychedelic wig out bands that got into this whole machine groove thing. There were a bunch of avant-garde sort of mad jazzers. Hogazuke, who you've probably heard of and will be mentioned again later in the show because he went on to do some quite interesting electronic experimentation. Michael Crowley, Ermin Schmitz, Jackie Leipzig, the drummer, again you might have heard of him, David Johnson, who worked with Stockhausen, and later Michael Mooney, who's a sculptor. Like a lot of 60s bands, disappeared in strange circumstances. Apparently their first album was recorded in Clone Castle. Their most famous album is an album in 1971, which is Tejo Major, which is with their lead singer disappeared in sort of suddenly, as was wont. I mean, if you know about any rock histories of this period, it seems to be so many people disappeared and joined cults and took too much acid and things like that was going on. Kenji Damu Suzuki joined, who's a busker and previously, strangely, in a production of Hair, joined Can and basically, as I've written here, made Captain Beefheart look like Frank Sinatra, was just really insane. A lot of Can fans, I remember, hated it. Other bands that... went on to other things, because Can kind of became more prog. They had some kind of, you know, sort of prog electronic disco, sort of more sort of Tangerine Dream level, and Klaus Schulze as well. I have to mention them. They're more the electronic, and I have to admit I don't know so much about them. I've heard some good things. I've heard some cheesy things. So I've kind of left them out of this because I'm going very much from a mashup angle. And the reason, the other band that's very interesting is a band called Organization, who, although you may not have heard of their album 1970 Tone Float, they're actually became Kraftwerk. Florian Schneider, who's a classically trained flautist, and Ralph Hutter formed Organization, and the first album is just like psychedelic wig out, but 1971 with Kraftwerk 1 and Kraftwerk 2 are very beautiful, where they're doing things like they were treating flutes electronically and experimenting with tapes and loops and electronics, and you can see where they were going. And it's interesting because I always thought Ralph Hutter, when he played the flute, I always think he actually plays the synthesizer like a flute instrument. There's a lot of sort of fluty noises, and but certainly it shows the whole classical training in their later work. And that leads on to, you're probably thinking, well, what's the inspiration for any of the, you know, what's this going to do with mashups? Well, amongst the bands that were inspired by bands like Neu, who Neu came out of Organization because Michael Rother and Klaus Dinger were in Organization, and then they formed a band called Neu. Now, Neu actually gave the name to the band Negative Land, and also gave the name of their label. Now, Neu, so even just for that fact alone, that's incredibly influential, because as all I will discuss previously on Radio Clash, and we'll actually do a show on mashup history of mashups on Negative Land, most definitely. They went on to be very influential in the cut up and mashup scene, and just generally in the whole copyright domain. The interesting thing about Neu is that they've been very much ripped off. I get very annoyed because I think they deserve a lot better, because people like Stereolab have ripped them wholesale. If you've ever heard any Stereolab, you like Stereolab, you have to hear Neu. But the thing is that Neu's albums until very recently were deleted. For about 20 odd years, you couldn't get them apart from bootlegs. They were very difficult to get. I have a couple of bootlegs of Neu, and I also have some genuine albums of them. And it was to do with various things, including, you know, band politics. And they were very influential. Influential bands like PIL, Pop Group, The Four, Roxy Music, Spaceman 3, all that spiritualized. Julian Cope, big krautrock fan. Mercury Rev, and Pavement, certainly took a lot of the indie sort of more Faust approach. And Massive Attack have sampled Faust and have returned the privilege, have returned the compliment. So I'm going to play out with a track called Negative Land, and I will see you soon. This was released in 1972 off Neu, and check out the blog at http://mutantpop.net/radioclash. I'll post some links to places you can find out more about Faust and Neu, and I will see you soon. We'll be right back. History of Mashups. Mashups.